T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Let's roll on with the final hour of the show. Welcome back, Rob and Tim and you, right here on ESPN Upstate. You heard our senior sports spotlight earlier in the show. Tyler Rogers from Chapman High joined us here. He's a two-time football state champion. He's on his way to South Wesleyan to play baseball moving forward. We appreciate his time. Mark Ryan will be up at 4 o'clock with the next episode of our Senior Sports Spotlight as we continue to salute high school seniors from around the upstate. Hope that you will join him at 4 o'clock and throughout the week as we continue to award and recognize our senior athletes from around the upstate as we continue to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out. We've got a bunch of stuff I want to get to in this hour of the show, and I hope that you would join us. I will tell you tomorrow on the show, I'm actually really excited. I meant to do this today, but it is what it is. We obviously got very busy in the first hour and a half of the program. So with that being said, earlier today it was announced that a championship ring that Kobe Bryant gave to his mother a number of years ago as a thank you has sold over the weekend. Wow, they just missed an opportunity. Wow, Dortmund could have went level 1-1 there. Ouch.
I think I could have put that one in.
Oh, jeez, man. They are going to want that one back in the biggest way. Let's see. Are we off sides?
Oh, yeah, he's
100%. Off. Yeah, he's way off. Never mind. All right, never mind. Anyway, yeah, so that ring went to auction. 280 gur went for somebody purchasing one of Kobe's championship rings. And I've got a bunch of other merchandise that is auctioned during this pandemic that has gone for ridiculous amounts of money. A pair of Jordans that Mike wore and autographed during his career just sold for plus $1 million.
Jeez.
So tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about what is your favorite piece of owned sports merchandise? What is that piece in your collection that you are most proud of? And what are you hunting for? What would be the dream collectible for you? That one piece of sports memorabilia that you really want. I saw this coming up earlier. This study came out earlier in the month. The average American, what would you think? And this, I'm kind of interested to your guess, Tim. Survey of 2,000 Americans who routinely exercised before the COVID-19 quarantine. What do you think the average weight gained is by the American during the Rona? Stab in the dark.
The average?
Average weight gain by Americans during the Rona.
I'll go 17.
See, that's what I would have thought. Somewhere up in the 12 to 15 range.
Right.
5 pounds. 5 pounds is the average we've put on, right?
Really?
And here, yeah, 5 pounds. Results revealed that 65% of Americans are taking time off from their fitness routine and letting themselves go just a little bit. Half of Americans have already given up on their summer body goals for 2020. The survey was conducted on behalf of Naked Nutrition and found that 1 in 2 worry that they will never get their pre-quarantine body back. The average person thinks it would take them 8 weeks to look the way they did prior to isolation. Almost half of respondents admitted to indulging while in isolation. This is the one number from this study that I do not believe for a second, Timbo. 1/3 of Americans say that they have increased their alcohol consumption during the Rona. I suspect that number is higher, closer to 2/3.
Yeah. I mean, what else do you have to do? I mean, you have your wine collection, you have all your beer. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Just sit on the back porch, drink a beer.
Yeah. I mean, the liquor stores were the only things open for about a month and a half, you know? Mm-hmm. Nearly 2/3 have started to feel unhealthy in quarantine, and 64% say they tried at least one in-home exercise. And that's the thing. I will say this. The people I follow on Facebook, the people I follow on the gram, et cetera, that were like super into fitness before the Rona, they're still doing that. They found ways to keep it up, changing it up. Like, I know my gym is offering at-home workouts on YouTube. You can go to their YouTube channel, and they're like, well, if you can't lift weights, you can, you know, use your kitchen chair for this exercise and use the wall for this exercise. I don't believe for a second that only 1/3 of Americans have increased their booze consumption. That number's too low.
Yeah, I feel like it increased that. And to your point, the people in the gym, I feel like those are the same people that put, like, the dishwashing liquid on the floor and are using that as like a treadmill. You seen those videos?
Yeah.
I feel like those are those people.
I have. Look, I'm getting back in shape, right? I'm working with PhD weight loss. I'm down from 254 to 239 and some change of this, like 239.3 this morning. My goal is to get back down to 215, right?
Mm-hmm.
There has not been a point where I'm like, you know what I should do? I should put, you know, what is it, the cooking spray, Pam? I should put Pam all over my kitchen floor and push against the wall and make a treadmill. Like, no, I'm not that dedicated. I'll just stop eating hot dogs. That sounds like a better plan.
Yeah.
It's not a better plan. let me get Greg in here. Greg's been kind enough to hang on the line. Let's get Greg in here real quick. Greg, welcome to the show. Good to have you, buddy. No, we don't have Greg punched. Oh, we got
him. You were talking earlier about sports memorabilia that we own.
Yeah.
I actually own a 1966 National Championship ball that Eric Parsegian signed for when Notre Dame won the national championship back then. It is probably one of the coolest items I've owned.
How did you come up with that? That's awesome.
So my uncle, it's weird. My uncle, he got like this chance meeting with him and was able to actually spend some time with him for at least an hour and a half. And in the process of him talking to Era just decided to go ahead and give him the ball and he signed it for him. He updated the signature. He had it from the game, but his signature kind of faded out a little bit. So he re-signed it. So it's a newer signature, and it still has all the other players who signed that ball. It's really cool. It's a cool piece of memorabilia.
That's awesome, man. I love it. That's great. And it's really cool how you end up ending up with those kind of things, right? Like mine, I've got a bunch of stuff, but one of my favorites is I actually have a football that was signed by the inaugural New Orleans Saints team. So the first team to ever play together, I've got a ball signed by all of them, and that's pretty rad. Like those
wow,
kinds
yeah.
of that's it, but that's an heirloom piece, right? That's a piece that I'll have. And, you know, if I ever have a kid, it'll get passed on to him. If I don't, I'll pass it down to my nephew and let him carry it. Like, that's just a cool thing. And it's super rare. You can't get all those people together again. There's no way. Half those people are dead. There's no way to get them that ball replaced. So, yeah, those stories are always the coolest one. I appreciate that phone call, Greg. All right. A couple of things I wanted to get to in this hour of the show. We will start with the NBA. They have started to put their plans into place, and one of them, and this one I'm actually really excited about, instead of doing Eastern and Western Conference playoffs, one of the discussions that they are rumored to be having right now is that they may actually decide to skip around a little bit, and instead of doing Eastern and Western Conference, instead they would do just a straight-up old-school tournament format, right? So they would do teams 1 through 16 and just seed them 1 through 16. 1 plays 16, 2 plays 15, 3 plays 14, etc. And end up with a tournament. I actually love that idea.
Would it be a series or would it just be one game?
I believe it'd be a series. So I would assume, and I'm again making an assumption. I don't have the full plan laid out in front of me. I don't think they have released the full plan yet. But my assumption would be you would probably do for the first in the round of 16, you'd probably do a 5-game series, round of 8, a 5-game series, and then the final 4 in the championship would be a 7-game series.
So just what baseball does for its playoffs.
Basically, yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. First couple of rounds would be shorter series. Last two rounds would be full 7-gamers. And I got to tell you, I kind of like that idea. I kind of like that. It creates some, first off, some unique matchups in the playoffs, which I think is great. I think it kind of spreads the talent out a little bit more. And on top of that, because, you know, we've seen years in the past where, like, the Western Conference has, let's be real, the 4 best teams or the 3 best teams. The Eastern Conference has 1 good team. And so the Eastern Conference team kind of just wins its way through. They sweep 2 or 3 teams, maybe only give up 1 or 2 L's. And by the time the Western Conference champion makes it to the playoffs, that Western Conference champion's been in, you know, a couple of battles worth of series. So they're a little bit more worn out, a little bit more, more road weary, et cetera. I think that kind of takes that element out of play. And basically, it introduces more parity between the two divisions. I actually really like that. I hope the NBA goes with that, to be honest. I hope they finish the regular season, if only because, selfishly, Zion and the Pelicans are, I think, a game and a half out of being the 16 seed or maybe the 15 seed in that top-to-bottom list, right? They're just barely outside of the Western Conference wildcard spot, and they were kind of peaking at a really good time. The Pelicans had the easiest remaining schedule in the NBA, whereas the Sacramento Kings, who they're trying to catch up, they had beat the Kings, I think, 3 out of the 4 that they played, and they were on the floor to play the Kings the night that basketball got canceled. If they won that game, I think they were only going to be a half game out at that point. So I do sincerely hope that they will resume the regular season, even if in abbreviated format of it, so that Zion and the Pelicans can win their way. I'd love to see Zion make the playoffs his rookie year. If they don't, even if they don't, I'd still like to see that 1-16 tournament format. Just like I said, because I think parity inside of the league, let me rephrase that. I don't see any reason that the league is split up anymore, right? Everybody plays each other. It's not like baseball where NL plays NL with the exception of 3 or 4 weekends a year. It's everybody's playing everybody. Why do we still have the divisions, or why do we still have the conferences for that sake? I mean, other than we just like the playoff format, I would love if the NBA would just ditch the conferences altogether, have everybody play each other, top 16 teams make the playoff, and we do it from that way. Make it a tournament. I think it'd be more fun.
I was actually about to ask you, but now, do you think they will? Now that you won't, but do you think eventually in the near future, if they do it this year and it succeeds, do you see them changing in the future?
No, not at all. I think it's one of those things where they like things the way that things are, which is a bummer to me, because again, I do think it would be, I think it would be more fun. I think the parity involved would be more fun if you laid it out in a tournament format, if you laid it out in a format where, you know, it doesn't matter if the 3 best teams are in the West, because now all of a sudden the best 4 teams are seeded 1, 2, 3, and 4. You would create all the things that we love about March Madness in an NBA format.
Right, I agree with you, because, like, essentially there are some years where the 8th best team in the West would be like the 2 or 3 seed in the East.
Absolutely. So get rid of that, right? Mm-hmm. Just give me the best teams, seed them 1-16.
I could definitely see them doing that if it works out, say like this year in a modified way.
Right. Let me put it this way. I cannot see nor have I heard anybody give me a genuine reason, a legitimate reason why a tournament format wouldn't be better for the NBA. I have not heard a legitimate reason as to why a tournament format is less entertaining, makes less sense, or would be less efficient than the way that we do it with the conferences seeded out the way that they are. Because like Tim just pointed out, we have seen years where the 4th best team in the West would be the best team in the East, or the 2nd best team in the East. So you've had years, and hell, I even go back, and y'all know I love me some LeBron, but we've had years where LeBron and the Cavs in the East basically had a walkthrough until they got to the finals, right?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
There was a couple of years where Boston was pretty good. You had the big three with Boston where them and LeBron battled a little bit. Yeah, but we've seen years that it's played out that way. Why not scrap that?
Yeah, I believe there was, I think LeBron's last year where the Celtics took the Cavaliers to seven games.
Yep.
But before that, he pretty much he steamrolled the Raptors. He steamrolled everybody else in the Eastern Conference. And it'd be kind of nice to see him going up against some Western Conference team like the Rockets early on in the playoffs and not having to wait till the NBA Finals.
Plus, on top of that, again, I think it just lays out better when you take into consideration strength of schedule and all that, right? Like, yeah, you got an easier schedule, so you bumped up. Doesn't mean you're going to cakewalk through because the East is easy this year. You're going to get scrapped up. So if you're a team that's got an easy schedule and you've got one of the easier schedules in the league and that bumps your win total up to be the fourth seed, well, yeah, you're the fourth seed, but you're playing you're playing the 12 seed or the 13 seed, and that team might give you more than you can handle because of it. I just think it lines up better and gives you more competition. Take a real quick break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, Ohio State University has got plans. The NFL's got plans. The NBA got plans. Will we see full stadiums? We're starting to get some opinions from some major players in sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll address those when we come back here in a minute on the Rob Brown Show. And Twenty-four minutes after the 2 o'clock hour, Rob, Tim, and you on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Make sure you follow us across our social media platforms at ESPN Upstate. Oh, basically all of them. You can get at us on Twitter, on the Gram, on the Facebook at ESPN Upstate, and of course at the Rob Brown Show on Twitter, at the Rob Brown Show on Twitter. And Timbo's Twitter handle is, I forgot.
Got it. At T-Hulk18.
T-Hulk. That's what I was going to say. T-Bone, and I couldn't remember if it was T-Bone or T-Rex. Oh, turns out it was neither.
Oh, that wouldn't be a bad one, though.
Mr. T, Ice T.
Mr. T is actually part of my email.
Don't hate that. And, of course, our Discord server is up and running. It is a live, real-time chat room where you can talk with me and hopefully Tim at some point and the entire cast and crew of ESPN Upstate before, during, and after the Rob Brown Show, as well as fans of the show from around the entire Upstate. If you'd like to join our Discord server, we've had a couple of people join today. All you have to do is shoot a text to 71307 that says ESPN password. Text me 71307 ESPN password, and I will be happy to send you the link to join our The Rob Brown Show Discord server. If you do that, you can chat with me, with Tim, we'll get Diesel in there, and listeners from around the Upstate 24/7, 365. I will pop show prep in there so you can see the things we're talking about live on the air. I will read your comments and takes off of that. We have three threads in right now. We have a general sports thread, a general The Rob Brown Show thread, where you can talk about things that are happening on and off the air. We have a smack talk thread where you can go in there and run junk at whoever or whatever you want to. And we have a non-sports shenanigans thread going as well, where you can talk movies and pop culture and restaurants and food and all that kind of good stuff. If you'd like to join our Discord, then feel free to send a text to 71307 that says ESPN password, and I will happily send you a link to join our Discord server. Just got somebody texting that right there. The link is on the way back to you, my friend. And if anybody else would like to join us, you can do that very simply by texting 71307. Actually, I just accidentally sent him a link to the website for the sex dolls thing we were talking about earlier. And let me clarify that, otherwise it sounds out of context. Soul FC.
We apologize.
I don't apologize. It's hilarious, and I'm rolling with it. So Seoul FC, which is a football club in South Korea, contracted with a company to put fans in the stand, to basically put fake fans in the stand. They have done so and gotten in a little bit of trouble. Because the fans that they put into the stands, they were sex dolls. Oops, my bad. So, yeah, they got into some heat for that. Some of the dolls were displaying signs that supported the club. Others were displaying signs that...
supporting something else.
Yes, supported websites that I can't open up at work without getting into trouble. Okay, and we'll leave it at that. All right, The Ohio State University.
You have to say the...
They get mad if you don't. Well, it just sounds better. I used to say when I was on my old station, we had a ton of Ohio State fans in the crowd. And I used to say, an Ohio State University, right?
You probably got booed, didn't you?
A lot. There are just some things about some schools that you don't take runs at, right? Unless you're ready for a fight. The Ohio State University. And on top of that, I hate it, but it's got a ring to it. Let's be honest, it does. It's got a ring to it. But,
I mean, you try to trademark the word the, we got problems.
Depends on what the definition of the word the is. That's my Bill Clinton impression. Worked on that one, too. And Ohio State University. Is that better? Feel better?
Oh, great. All right. Much better.
Is modeling a concept that would allow about one-fifth of Ohio Stadium to be occupied during games. Athletic Director Gene Smith made that announcement last week. He said, quote, "We have played a little bit with the social distancing concept. We know that will probably take us down south of 30,000 fans and the stands actually closer to 20 to 22,000. We've played with that a little bit as a framework to start," end quote. Ohio Stadium can fit in 102,000 fans. It's the third largest football venue in the country. Smith has previously noted that the Buckeyes athletic department could lose as much as $50 million if Ohio Stadium opened without fans for an entire 7-game home stand. Since then, Smith has been able to consider Ohio State's options to fill the stadium with limited audience. Miami Dolphins CEO and president Tom Garfinkel said his franchise was looking at a social distancing model that would allow a maximum of 15,000 fans in the 65,000-seat Hard Rock Stadium. I love that he says that as if there's more than 15,000 that show up for a regular game anyway.
I think that's being generous, too.
Yeah. Smith said, quote, "I think it's learning. This is a process. What's beautiful for me, every morning we have Big Ten AD calls, just the feedback between one another and colleagues. In the beginning, none of us had any position on anything. Now I've shifted to being curious," end quote. So look, I do think we are getting towards the point where there is the possibility that fans are in the stands on a limited basis, right? I'm still leaning towards we won't have fans in the stands on college campuses. We might in the NFL, right? The NFL operates on a different level. College campuses, especially the way the budgets work out and the possibility of lawsuits and litigation if people start getting sick in droves, I think we might very well see stadiums set up. There was one, and I'm trying to remember who it was. I'm a bad sports host. I want to say it might have been the Dolphins, as a matter of fact. We're experimenting with not just 15, 20,000 in the stands, but how to get them in and let them have an enjoyable experience at a game. Up to included, they were going to have a way that the ticketing process would work, right? So you'd buy a ticket with a zone on it, zone one, zone two, and zone three. And basically, they would load in fans based on the zones, kind of like an airplane, right? So from an hour and a half to an hour and 15 before the game, zone one would go into the stadium. And then for 30 minutes, zone two, and then 30 minutes, zone three. They also would put into place, instead of going to a concession stand, you would use an app or some other function to order what you wanted from the concession stand from your seat. And then either they would have someone bring you what you ordered, like a restaurant, or you would actually go to the concession stand in waves as well. So for 10 minutes, zone one goes to the concession stand. For 10 minutes, zone two. For 10 minutes, zone three, et cetera. But you're starting to see a lot of these organizations, both collegiate and pro, start to play with these ideas about how it is to get fans in the stands. And I have to say, it's not that it's going to be normal, but it does raise some sense of optimism, I think, right? Like, you can be a little more optimistic now that you have college and pro franchises that are saying, look, it's not going to be ideal. It's going to have some kinks in it to work out. But at the end of the day, we've got a plan to at least put some people in the stadiums. At least it feels like we're taking steps in that direction.
Yeah, what I want to know is, what is the bathroom policy going to be? Are they?
It's a great question.
I mean, are they going to send them in waves? Because, like, what if someone else is like, you know, ate a bunch of nachos and or something, and they have to go to the bathroom and they can't?
It's a great question. It is a legitimately good question, and the answer is, I have no idea. I don't know how that works out, right? Like, that's another big question. On top of that aspect of it, Tim, I've gone to, I don't know, hundreds, maybe thousands of live games in my lifetime. People going to the bathroom at games are disgusting. Y'all are gross. Y'all are gross. Y'all mama didn't teach you to wash your hands, and it's gross. Okay? I'm intrigued by that. I have been to, there are bars and clubs that have a bathroom attendant, right? They have a bathroom attendant, somebody in there that typically what they do is wash your hands for you, spray cologne on you, and make you feel awkward to give them money. Which, by the way, listen, every club ever, y'all can get rid of the bathroom attendant. It's not 1935 anymore, right? Yeah. I can wash my own hands. If I want some of your knockoff cologne, I can spray it on myself.
We're all big boys and girls.
Yep. I don't need somebody to hand me a paper towel and then expect me to give them money for standing in a bathroom. Like, no, that is, of all the things, that one I could do without. I do not need bathroom attendants anymore. It is one of the weirdest, dumbest traditions. Gentlemen's clubs have a history of that, right? And I'm pretty sure in a lot of them, really, that guy's just there to make sure nobody's going to the bathroom to openly do drugs. Let's be honest, right? That guy's just in there to make sure nobody's pulling out little baggies from their wallet. That's that guy's job. But other than that, y'all can quit. But do you have one of those in an NFL stadium that literally polices people? Hey, you got to wash your hands, man. You're gross. That's disgusting. To make sure that if people are touching stuff, they're sanitizing. When wave one is done going to the bathroom, does he walk over and sanitize all the sinks and everything? I don't know. And this is all stuff. It's the more you think about that, Tim, and the more you ask questions like the one you just asked, the more you realize there's a lot of these things that nobody has any idea, and we have to work them out in order to get fans in the stands. It's just a byproduct of the COVID, man. Just a byproduct of the Rona. All right, quick break. We got one segment left, and then Tim will guide us through Twitter trending topics. When we come back, one former Panther is claiming there might be a deeper issue that caused the Cam Newton divorce from the Panthers. What was it, and do you agree? We'll find out on the other side of the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. All right, heading towards the end of the program. Offsides with Mark Ryan's coming up next at 3 o'clock. Stay tuned for that and all that he has prepped for you after a long, extended three-day Memorial Day weekend. Cam Newton and the Panthers split, and it got UGLY. You ain't got no alibi. It's ugly. Yeah, it's ugly. It did not go well, and now a former Panther player, according to The Athletic's Joe Person, is saying that the organization did Cam dirty. Mike Tolbert played with the Panthers from 2012 to 2016, was asked if the relationship between Cam and the Panthers were good or bad, and he ran with it. Here is the full quote from Tolbert. He said, quote, "They've been doing him wrong timing-wise for the past two or three years, if you ask me. It goes back to his shoulder surgery. Everyone knew his shoulder was messed up in the middle of the year 2 years ago, but they wait until off-season gets ready to start having shoulder surgery. Makes no sense. Timing's off. As soon as he got hurt last preseason against the Patriots, they were saying, oh, he's got a high ankle sprain. I looked at it on film carefully. It's not a high ankle sprain. You could tell that 10 minutes after the play. You knew it's a mid-foot sprain, Lisfranc, something like that. But you wait until December for him to beg you to have surgery. He shouldn't have been out there week 1 and 2. He shouldn't have been out there probably till week 4 or 5 at minimum. End quote. Tolbert said, quote, the offseason is, quote, that the Panthers are, quote, boring like quarantine. Cam brought the excitement, man, to the locker room, to the community, to the team. Every team out there has personality, and right now I don't see anybody that can fill that void on the Panthers team other than maybe Curtis Samuel, but he's not as out there like that, end quote. Mike Tolbert is saying that the Panthers screwed up with Cam Newton, that they mismanaged his injuries, that they didn't take care of him the way he should have been taken care of, and that they created this situation. Here's the thing. I'm not a medical doctor, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I've been saying that throughout the Rona, and I say that with football injuries. I don't know. I can tell you that for the past 2 seasons, I do agree that Cam Newton hadn't looked right. Right? Like, you're not telling me the drop off from the first handful of years of his career where he's out there making the Super Bowl and winning the MVP in 2015. And just a couple of years later, everything's gone. The power's gone. The accuracy's gone. The finesse is gone. I am inclined to think, maybe not fully believe him, but to think that what Mike Tolbert has said has some base in reality, Tim. To me, Cam Newton's looked off, and this would explain that, I think.
Yeah, it would. But at the same time, you got to remember that during his time, who on the Panthers was going to tell Cam Newton that he can't be out on the field? He basically said, I'm going out there and nobody's telling me anything else. He wanted to be out there, which I respect that. But at the same time, but the injuries, man, were kind of his fault, right? Along those lines. I mean, no one was going to sit there and tell him that he can't be on the field. Yeah. He would have told them, no way, I'm fine. That's what he did. And I respect that, but at the same time, the consequences of that, as many shots as he took, his body just kind of deteriorated over the last couple seasons.
And that's, you know, that's kind of interesting.
And he only came off the field whenever he was like, he recognized it. After the Thursday night game against Tampa, he realized, okay, something is definitely not right. I have to come off the field.
And that's the question. Look, there's some level of responsibility for an athlete to say, look, I'm not right. Something's wrong. Okay? Something's wrong. Something's off. I'm not in a good spot. Physically, I've got an injury, whatever. But there's also this, and this goes to a deeper conversation I've had here on the past as well. There's this other part of that conversation that goes, hey, look, man, we've created this attitude where we expect our athletes to tough it out, rub some dirt on it, play through it. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. Everybody's hurt. Only a few people are genuinely injured. And if you're the Panthers over the past few years, whether it's Ron Rivera's decision or management's decision or what, there's some level of requirement for you to know what's going on with your players. There's some level of requirement that demands that you know how your guy is going to respond on the field based on the situation that he's placed in. And if it is for sure that he played last season through this injury, one that basically is preventing him from getting a contract now, at least that's the theory from a lot of people, that still says mismanagement to me. Even if Cam never told them, yo, my foot's jacked, my wheel's blown, I need some help, you still have to recognize something is wrong. And you do have the right to go, Cam, look, we know you feel good, man, but we want that foot x-rayed. We want that MRI machine popped up. We need this to happen for the benefit of the club as a whole, if not just you, and make something happen. Like I said, I got a hard time believing that Cam's been this off for this long and nobody managed to say maybe we should take a look at it. I'm not saying Mike Tolbert's right. I'm saying I don't think anybody's wrong for thinking maybe he's got a point. Maybe there's some basis in reality for this. 844-GSP-ESPN. Jimmy's on the line, wants to talk a little bit about it. Jimmy, welcome to the show, buddy. It's good to have you. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, guys. So Cam Newton, after his second shoulder surgery, I was very surprised that he came back so soon. My question is, was it his idea or the team's? And if it was the team's idea, I think, you know, you got to stand behind the guy and work through his injury and keep him. But, you know, but Cam's got his other issues also. He can be a little bit of a head case. He never has been real accurate. So, but still, I think they should have been loyal to Cam and try to let him work through the health problems.
Jimmy, I think you're spot on, man. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I appreciate the input. Thanks for calling, 844-477-3776. I agree. Look, if it was a management decision to just let Cam keep being Cam, that's a problem, and that's where loyalty dies, right? That's where your loyalty goes away. I agree with what Jimmy had to say.
I do too. But at the same time, you know, let's put in context who the coach was. Ron Rivera, class act. You know, he knew he couldn't win without Cam. So it's like he would probably go to Cam and be like, "Hey, you good?" And he would say, "Yeah, coach." Of, you know, of course, being the athlete that he is, he said, "Yeah, I'm good." You know, and I feel like Ron Rivera probably just didn't do enough. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
I feel like he just kind of trusts his players and this was like, "Oh, he says he's fine," and I believe him. And that's where I think Ron Rivera was in the wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that, too. And look, the Riverboat Gambler, I mean, I could see him going, well, you know, even Cam at 85%, 80% is better than 21 other starting quarterbacks. Let's give it a shot. Text line 71307, text line 71307. At ESPN, I believe just me from living in Spartanburg, the new ownership and management did not like Cam Newton's hidden lifestyle and him being upfront about it. I'm not slandering or disagree with his choices, but I believe everyone is scared to say or admit it, even sports reporters. I don't know what that means. What do you mean by his hidden lifestyle?
There was something going on in his personal life that came out. I don't know too much about it.
I mean, if you're talking about all the stuff about him ending up in Auburn with a bag man and all that, okay. But I feel like that was, you know, a long ass time ago. If the insinuation here is that Cam Newton is, and I'm sorry, I hate to go this direction, but if the insinuation here is that Cam Newton is gay, I don't see how that impacts it. The dude's, I mean, I'll,
well, he's got a kid, so he's not.
Yeah, first off, I don't see the evidence to support that. But second off, if that was the case, who cares if he's bringing you to Super Bowls and winning MVP awards? Who cares? I guess I don't understand, and I appreciate the text at 71307. Maybe you can send me a follow-up and clear up what do you mean by hidden lifestyle. If it just means that Cam Newton is, you know, a larger-than-life character who enjoys his own unique sense of fashion and getting attention for it. I mean, I guess, but how many great quarterbacks are known for just kind of being their own guy, right? Like outside of Tom Brady, most of them. Tom Brady's just a walking bowl of vanilla ice cream, but he's a walking bowl of vanilla ice cream with six rings attached. So what are you going to do, you know? All right, let's take a break. We come back. Twitter trending topics on the backside. Rob, Tim, and you on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Okay, it's now time for Rob's Twitter trending topics of the day. First off, Jerome Boateng.
You mean it works better if I turn my microphone on? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
It might help.
why is he trending?
Here is his stat line for today's game against Dortmund. He played 85 minutes, had 90 touches. He completed a total of 73 passes.
Okay, yep, that'll do it. 92.5% passing efficiency today. Any player that knocks down a 92.5% pass accuracy is your man of the match. I don't care if he didn't score a goal, which he didn't. 1-0 win to Bayern Munich. Also won 100% of the aerial duels. That's a solid stat line.
That's about as good as it can get without actually scoring a goal.
Yep. 4 interceptions, 4 block shots, 1 clearance. Rated just over an 8 out of 10 on the match. Yeah, that's not a terrible stat line. Not even a little. Good match though. It was for having no fans, and obviously we didn't get to listen to it because we were on the radio. But it didn't seem to be lacking the energy that you typically get out of Deer Classic. Usually, with a crowd, you get the smoke and the flares and the drums and all that. It didn't really lack the energy on the field, though, and that's kind of the best we can hope for, I think, as we head towards a football season with no fans, it looks like.
Next up, Davies. Alphonso Davies for Bayern Munich had an absolutely disgusting move. He out-dribbled and just went right by four Dortmund defenders. It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and Dortmund's got one of the best back lines in football. So yes. to be able to pull that move off, like I said, the best part, and I told you guys to watch this match if only so that you could kind of get a feel for what football will feel like without fans. These guys were putting it out there, man. They were laying it out there. This game mattered to them, even if there weren't fans to kind of encourage them, if you will. Look, you still got a lot of passion. You got a lot of competition out of that match today, and I enjoyed it.
All right, next up, trending for not quite a good reason, Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. So a couple of things. First off, Fallon made an appearance on the match this weekend, where he said that, you know, he kind of had a moment where he was like, I already feel like I had a lot in common with Tom Brady, but watching this, I feel like we were separated at birth. Can I just say that it was nice to see Tom Brady looking like a mortal? It was nice seeing Tom Brady struggle for just a minute, right? I've said for years the reason everybody hates Thomas Wayne Alfred Brady III is because they wish they were Tom Brady, and you can tell me you don't. But if you can look me in the face and tell me you don't wish you were a six-time Super Bowl champion, a multiple-time Super Bowl MVP, the most successful quarterback of all time, in the hardware case, married to a supermodel who makes billions of dollars. Tom Brady could have never played football and would have still been set for life just on Giselle's salary. I'm just saying, you can hate on Tom Brady. I don't know why Jimmy Fallon is trending. I saw it's got something to do with blackface, and I don't know what he did for it. Look, there are... It's not a good look, right? Like, I think the one acceptable use of blackface over the past few years was Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, and that was only because it was making fun of the whole concept. It was showing just how ridiculous the concept is. Did Fallon do something dumb on Saturday Night Live? Okay, that's what I assumed it was going to happen. All right. Ugh. Just stop, America. Stop doing that. Just please stop doing that, all right? Just stop. Just stop. You're going to get canceled, and you deserve it. Just stop. Way to end the show, Tim. Way to end the show.
Thank you.
I like that Lonzo laugh from across the room. Offsides with Mark Ryan and Lonzo comes up next. Their Senior Sports Spotlight moment at 4 o'clock. You're going to want to be there for that. Thank you for listening. Hope you guys had a great long Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. I want to send a special thank you out to soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine, firefighter, police officers, EMS, Coast Guard, and first responders, doctors, and nurses. Couldn't do it without y'all. Thank you so much. For Tim, I'm Rob. It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.